Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Road to Recovery group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Caroline and I'm an alcoholic.
Hello.
Would everyone please turn off their phones or switch them to a silent profile? And please try to keep disruptions to a minimum. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We're self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous in support of AA's singleness of purpose. We respectfully ask that sharing be confined to alcoholics. And when discussing our problems, we confine ourselves to those problems as they relate to alcoholism. There may be visitors here who are unfamiliar with our tradition of anonymity. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and television. This tradition is a constant reminder that personal ambition has no place in AA. We are sure that anonymity is the greatest safeguard AA can ever have. We therefore seek your cooperation in protecting the anonymity of our members at the public level. The format of tonight's meeting will be 3 10-minute speakers, followed by a fourth speaker till approximately 8:30. The meeting will then be open to the floor and closed at 9 o'clock. To introduce tonight's main speaker, Nat.
Well, yeah. Hi everyone, I'm Matt, I'm an alcoholic.
Hello.
And yeah, it's really great to be here tonight. And thanks for the first three speakers, that was awesome. And it's good to see people like Leroy and Ryan back in the meetings at the moment. And please just stay. Because this is where you belong. This is where I belong as well. Now, I'm a hopeless alcoholic. This is where I belong. And this is where I'm going to stay by the, you know, God willing. And the amazing fact is I'm a hopeless alcoholic. And yeah, I've just, you know, at the start of the month, I just turned 10 years sober. To be honest, I haven't had time. I'm so busy. The last few weeks have been really stressful. My dad's been in hospital and I've been looking after him every spare second I've had from the day job. And I haven't had time to sort of celebrate. But just on the way here in the car, I was listening to some music. I just had time to reflect, you know, really, being sober for 10 years is not down to me anyway. It's not my achievement. Sorry, there's something on the screen. I can't stay sober for 10. I couldn't stay sober for 10 minutes before I got to AA. The only reason I'm sober today is, you know, by the grace of God and being willing to, get a sponsor and listen to them, do what they say, go through the 12 steps, keep practicing the principles I've learned in that, get into service in Alcoholics Anonymous, at my home group and help other alcoholics, and then try and take these, what we do here out into the real world and try and make a go of it, which I failed to miserably many times before. So, you know, I say it's not really a celebration, but it's an incredible milestone to me. But it just tells you the power of this program, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, a lot of us say, you know, if it can sort me out, it will sort you out. And it's worked beautifully for me. You know, I cannot believe, like I said, I couldn't stay sober for 10 minutes. And yet, you know, being sober for this length of time. And it's not just that. It's just, you know, somebody was on the phone to me this week and they were kind of, I've been sponsoring them. They were kind of having a bit of a moan about, it's a bit harsh, isn't it? Saying that if you don't do this, you'll drink and die, you know. And well, yeah, I mean, it's in the big book and we've seen it happen at this meeting. People I've actually sponsored have drunk themselves to death. So we're dealing with a serious illness, a fatal progressive illness of alcoholism, serious business. But rather, I mean, so that those are important facts of alcoholism. But I mean, the most important fact is one. It's in the big book. You know, the great fact for me, you know, is that you know the 12 steps, you know, and everything else. The great fact is that I've had a spiritual experience as a result of this program, a deep and effective spiritual experience has revolutionized my entire way of life, such that, you know, I'm not even alcohol. Is not even on the horizon. It's not on the radar. You know, I'm not tempted to drink anymore. I don't need to drink. I don't want to drink. I've lost interest in alcohol, is something Alexis says. You know, it just completely got wiped from my kind of thinking as soon as I made up my mind to go through this program. And, you know, so if anyone's new out on Zoom, especially, you know, what we're talking about in AA is not just come into meetings and trying to white knuckle it and stay off alcohol. Oh, I mustn't drink today. You know, it's just, that's not it at all. If you go through the 12 steps with the sponsor, you know, and you do it properly and you do it fearlessly and thoroughly, you do it seriously, and you know you have to because you are going to die if you don't. You know, life is on the line. Then you can have a wonderful life, as this happened to me, and it can happen for you as well. And yeah, so I mean, we sometimes get like, it's not just new people, we sometimes get like family members, you know, join the Zoom meetings, especially during the last few months, you know, and some of them are sort of wondering why they're, you know, why they can't sort of change their partner or their husband or boyfriend or whatever it might be. And the simple fact is, you know, we are dealing with a physical and mental illness over which we have no control. You know, many people do not understand, you know, that the alcoholic is a very sick person. And I can tell you, I was a very sick person, and I didn't even know how sick I was. You know, somebody said it earlier. I mean, and, you know, I didn't know how much trouble I was in until somehow, by the grace of God, I got to AA just in time before it all went, it's incredible to me, really, how it's all worked out. I've literally escaped complete disaster. And I wound up in AA just at the right time. It was all hanging by a thread. And I did what everyone said here. I got a sponsor and I went through the 12 steps. And, you know, I didn't have to go down any further. It's completely saved my life, transformed my life and the way I live as well. And it's just, I mean, really, it's what I've always been looking for. And I found it here. So what's the problem with an alcoholic like me? You know, what is the problem? You know, and this might help anyone who's out there tonight who's new or maybe their family members on Zoom watching. You know, basically, it's like Pip said, the very first time I had an alcoholic drink, which a few of us had smuggled into a school disco, I got insanely drunk. And four men had to carry me out of there. You know, and I was about, what was I? I can't remember how old it was. It was absolutely insane. And that has been my experience with alcohol ever since. You know, every time I drank, I got insanely drunk. I couldn't control it. And it's just set something off and I would have more and more and more. And I'd just, I'd hurt people or I'd hurt myself or embarrass myself. I'd say ridiculous things or, you know, it wasn't good. And it was like that every time. And yet really, I mean, you know, that's the physical dimension. We call it an allergy to alcohol. It's in the big book. You know, I just cannot control my drinking. And it says in the big book, no real alcoholic ever recovers control. So, you know, that's pretty serious stuff. You know, what am I going to do about that? And the second part of the mental illness. Despite what I've done, despite how embarrassing it is, and despite my partner kicking me out and saying, I don't want you anymore, you know, whether you get sober or not, I don't want you back because you've gone too far, I just do it again. And I don't really care. I just thought, well, sod you lot. And, you know, then I'm just drinking on my own in my flat or out on the moors in the car or whatever. You know, I'm the type of alcoholic, actually, that, you know, I put myself in hospital on a cocktail of like pills and alcohol once. And, you know, when they let me out after a few days, after sort of, you know, getting me cleaned up. You know, the insanity of alcohol returned pretty quickly, the mental twist. I thought, well, you know, shall I go home to the partner and the kids? They're worried sick about me. No, I know what I'll do. I've got to find my car. Where is it? Where's the car? You know, when the ambulance picked me up, I can't remember where I've left it. I found it, went to the nearest place to buy some more booze, went to Dartmoor and did it all over again. You know, that's the insanity of alcohol. And that's the mental illness that we're dealing with. So, you know, I'm caught between these two things. It's catch 22. You know, the physical allergy of alcohol is there. And despite people telling me and despite promises, you know, I just can't leave it alone. And you're really trapped in this just crazy world of alcoholism. And, you know, eventually I, you know, rang the AA helpline and my sponsor, Chris. Thank you, Chris. And Welshnik back there, you know, came out to my flat and just talked to me, did enough to get me to my first meeting that night. And frankly, I just thought it was this is really cheesy. What's going on here? You know, I mean, you know, they're talking about some stuff I just don't get. But really, once I started to listen properly after a couple of weeks and another relapse, I thought, it all fell into place. These guys are telling me the truth. There's no way I can recover on my own. And I tried my fair share of things, like I tried the doctors, the counselors, the medication, the therapy, someone said it earlier, going to CBT and all that stuff. And I tried all these things, it just didn't, I mean, it was hopeless really. And so I knew at that point, and they were kept sharing, you know, if you get a sponsor and take the 12 steps, you get a sponsor and a big book and take the 12 steps over and over again. And it was just wearing down my resistance. And thank God it did, because otherwise I would have overthought it, overanalyzed it, and I'd have been out there and I probably would be dead by now. That's the truth of it. And so thank God, you know, they talked about their problems, their illness. But also, thank God, they talked about the solution that we've got here in the 12 steps. And that Tuesday night down at Christ the King, I was sinking lower and lower and lower into my chair as they kept on going on about the big book and the 12 steps and getting a sponsor. And I just thought, oh, no. I thought, right, I've got to do this. Yeah, there's no other way. I can't see any other way out of this stuff. So I just asked for a sponsor. Sean Kay was the secretary that night. And so I got this temporary sponsor. It turned out to be Chris, who 12-stepped me. And he's just been my sponsor ever since. You know, I've been at the same home group throughout my recovery, and I've had the same sponsor throughout my recovery. And I've just done the same things every day as best I can. Not perfectly, like Andy said. You know, just done the best I can every day to follow what he says. Follow the actions that we take in Alcoholics Anonymous. And as a result, I've stayed sober all that time. And there's been no temptation to drink. You know, there's been no, not even through difficult times or pressure at work or what, you know, there's been no temptation to drink. I've really done this wholeheartedly with everything I've got, because that's the only way. And so I've got this sponsor. And he showed me the daily plan, and I thought it was ridiculous, to be honest. Pray for a sober day. Well, you've got to be kidding me, right? I mean, you know, really, I just couldn't believe it. But for once, I didn't have anything to say about it. I always had a wisecrack or a comeback or a little, I'd always pipe up at the back of the class, you know, with some rubbish or joke or some sort of or criticism. And for once, I didn't have anything to say or to argue about. I just said, okay, I'll do it. You know, that's really what I was thinking something else, but I just said, okay, yeah, I'll do it. And that was really important. You know, I was finally that, I think looking back now, that tells me that I was finally beaten. I had no, I couldn't, There was nothing I could do to dispute what I had, you know, to argue about what I had to do. It had worked for you guys. You were telling me that. And I couldn't believe some of your stories, really. But, you know, now I've got to know you better as those first few weeks went on. I knew it was true. It kept me going. I got the sponsor and started taking the daily actions. Pretty soon I was into service, like sweeping the floor and whatnot at the meeting. And then I was going through the 12 steps, you know, at my sponsor's pace, not mine. You know, he knew how important it was to be fearless and thorough. So I went through the 12 steps, you know, and I had step one. You know, I showed him that. I rang him every time, every day on time. And I still do that, you know, once a week now. If I'm late, that's just bad for me. My conscience is like, I cannot be 1 minute late, you know, ringing my sponsor. And yes, we're going through the steps and he explained what to read in the big book. And it all started falling into place. Like that thing Mark said at the start, you know, about the it's sending like a shiver down your spine when I first read the doctor's opinion, some of the other parts of the big book. I really felt like that. I just couldn't believe it. This had been my life. And yet here on the page, it was telling me, you know, what the problem was. But again, the beautiful thing about the big book is it also told me what the solution was. So I didn't doubt what the big book was saying in the first four chapters about the problem. And therefore, you know, I had to accept that it would also be true that the solution in the 12 steps that it talks about in chapter 5 and onwards is going to be true as well. So I'm going through the steps. You know, I took my inventory, just the most incredible thing I've ever done. I mean, I dragged it out. Don't do that if you're on step 4. I did drag it out for a bit, but I know when I finished it, I hadn't left a single thing out. There's the big stuff, but also, you know, not forgetting, it says in the big book, you know, if we think if we're not working a program, you know, one day for some trivial reason, we'll get the hump and have a drink. So not forgetting that, you know, I put down everything, you know, the petty stuff, the embarrassing stuff, the creepy stuff, the perverted stuff, the stuff I felt guilty about and ashamed of, all of it, and all my fears and, you know, all the naughty stuff as well. I knew when he came round for me to read that out. In step 5, I hadn't left a single thing out up to that point in my life, not a single thing, down to the tiniest little irritation. I put it all down. And to be honest, that's probably what's worn Chris out, you know, for the last few years is having to listen to that rubbish. But, you know, I knew I'd done it. And when I'd done, people talk about it here, it didn't happen straight away, actually. I did step 5. It took a day and a bit more the next day to read it all out. And it was this time of year, actually. It was Christmas Eve back then. And but it was a few days later, I just had an incredible sense of peace. Like, I wasn't thinking about anything. You know, for years, all this stuff had been round and round my head. And, just, you know, like it says in the Bible, our problems just, well, they seem to increase, they pile up and, you know, on us, and they become just impossible to solve. And for the first time in my life, I had just the most incredible clear head. And I knew that what they promised in the big book, that peace and serenity, you know, I knew they were telling the truth. You know, I kind of suspected they were, but I couldn't quite believe it. But then I experienced it for myself. So that's why we talk about the 12 steps, you know, the spiritual experience. It's not a spiritual read it and, you know, just think that somehow you're going to get that. You have to go through the work to have that experience. And I went on through the rest of the steps. I made my list of amends. Someone was talking about it earlier, of the people I'd hurt, and I'd hurt a lot of people. I was just shabby, really, a lot of the time. I was a bit of a git. And I was quite sort of callous and cold. I think a lot of people don't think I've changed much, actually, but there it is. I was awful sometimes. And some of the things I did to people and some of the things I lied about and dropped them in it at the same time, I mean, that was awful. And I had to make amends to all these people. So I went out and did all that. I paid back money that I fiddled at work through my expenses. You know, I made amends to my family, and I was then allowed, you know, for months before that, my partner wouldn't let me see my son. I was just so unreliable, and I was drink driving all the time. Anyway, I was dangerous. I was a danger to others and myself. And I made amends, and I was allowed to see my son again. He's just turned 20. It's incredible, really. You know, he sort of wished me well tonight as I came out the door. And, you know, what an amazing thing to have, like, because I was just absent a lot of the time, not just physically absent, out lying about where I was and doing up to no good. But I was absent up here and in here. You know, I just couldn't be, you know, like, I had no empathy for the people around me. I had no, I just didn't have a connection to them. You know, really, I mean, someone said, I mean, who said they were, I mean, people like have to self-isolate in the pandemic. I mean, I've been living in isolation for years, really. All through my alcoholism, I was living in isolation was the reality of it. I was, you know, often sharing, I'd go into a room full of people that I knew maybe at work. I just felt so lonely in that room, and I just couldn't seem to, like, I didn't know how to be with them. So all this stuff started to disappear as I went through the 12 steps, you know, this sort of self-centeredness and all that. And, you know, all those defects of just stupidly, you know, just stupid amounts of pride and ego that just ruled my life, or just, well, what it did was scupper all the things I wanted to do, really. And, yes, I went through the steps. I made amends to the people around me that I hurt, and some of those still go on today. It's, you know, I can hardly square that account in my lifetime. You know, something in the big book that I believe in. And, you know, from that point forward, it was like, okay, we now get into the business of helping other alcoholics, you know, enlarge my spiritual life. And a large part of that for me is what it says in step 12. You know, it's kind of like, you know, so I've gone through the 12 steps. I'm recovered, thank you. And, you know, so what? That so I could kick back, you know, surely I've done it. No, not at all. That's just the beginning. You know, what we, you know, in the 12th step, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and, you know, practice these principles in all our affairs. And that's quite a tall order. And some people just don't want to make the effort to carry this thing on. But I know that what this has given me, and I'm full of gratitude for AA. And it's a bit like those people you hear on the news. They're so grateful that, like, the operation saved their dad or whatever, or, you know, and they throw themselves into, like, raising money for this, that, and the other. And really, it's the same feeling inside for me. I'm so grateful for what AA has done for me that I literally give, you know, everything back if I could. I'd just spend every minute trying to give back to AA. But that's not the real world. You know, I got back into work. You know, I'm sort of on a new career at the moment as a primary school TA, hopefully to be a teacher. If that doesn't work out, I'm not worried. You know, I've been taught by this program that we just follow a path, and then, you know, if that doesn't work out, we try something else. I mean, I'm just inspired by the people some of them are in this room, actually, who've changed careers over the course of their lives, the course of their recovery. And that inspires me that I don't have to worry about it. I just try my best, and if it doesn't work out, I try something new. And, yeah, so, I mean, just to sum up, I've got the 2-minute light about a minute ago. So just to sum up, I mean, if anyone's new out there tonight, you know, trust what we're telling you. This is a serious illness. And if you identify with us, and if you can't control your drinking, then you're probably alcoholic. And if that's the case, you're suffering from an illness, a physical and mental illness, which only a spiritual experience will conquer. And that made me want to throw up when I first got here. But the reality is, this has done for me what I could not do for myself. I couldn't get sober on my own. I had no power to do so. I had to find a power greater than myself. That through, you know, this AA group is a power greater than me. And through it, I've been able to get sober, recover, have a much better life than the one I had before. I mean, that's an understatement. It's miraculous. And not only that, it's led me to a way of living which I know will solve all my problems as long as I keep doing it. And just once again, thanks to my sponsor, thanks to Nick over there. There's a lot of other people on my journey. There's probably everyone in this room pretty much tonight, and everyone downstairs, leave the mince pies alone down there. I've counted them. And there's lots of other people out on Zoom tonight who are in this group. Pretty much at some point in my recovery, every single one of you has helped me in some way, even if you don't realize it. So thank you very much, Road to Recovery. It's been wonderful. I intend to keep coming here and trying to help other people. If you're new, just get a sponsor here and just join us, and you'll realize what we're talking about. But you have to go through it to experience it. But it is a wonderful experience. Thanks.